I did a message called Divine Interruptions, Leaving Your Living, as we looked at a passage in Matthew chapter 4. I want to go back into that passage today. Typically, I would have moved on to something else, but I can't remember ever getting so many calls, so many texts, so many threats, so many questions, so many concerns, so much like you were talking right to me. But in order to really make a move, in order to really move with the call, like, I think we need to spend a little more time here so that people can make the right decision. I can't tell you what the decision is for you. All I can tell you is what God's word says, and then you have to determine how to apply it to your own life. Like, what are you supposed to do with God's truth? Like, that's for all of us, right? Whether we're in a situation, we got to make a decision. We're in a situation where we have to make a choice, where we have to decide how we're going to handle the situation. I think the best place to get our direction and guidance is from the Word of God. And so it's no different with our career, our vocation, our life's work. We don't know how much time we're going to have in this life. Nobody knows when that clock starts ticking. The clock starts ticking the moment we are born. And the timer is running, and we don't know what the end time is. People don't live with expiration dates on them. Sometimes when you're terminally ill, or when you have an illness, the doctors can predict how much longer they think you can live. But for the most part, most of us are walking around with an uncertain expiration date, and we don't know. And I'm saying, in the window of time that we have, I sure think it would be important for us to know what we're supposed to be doing with this time. In addition to enjoying ourselves and having a life and having more abundantly, where are we supposed to take our skills and talents? I was watching something on one of the sports channels on yesterday, and another young man, another top high school football recruit, signed with Jackson State, with the Jackson State Tigers, to play for Coach Prime, Coach Deion Sanders, and I thought that was really cool. But one of the things that all of the players usually say is, when they grab the hat of the school, they say, I'm taking my talents to this place. I'm taking my talents to the University of Oregon. I'm taking my talents to Alabama University. I'm taking my talents to Jackson State University. And I'm saying that just like you see people getting recruited because they're great football players or basketball players, like, the Holy Spirit is trying to recruit you. He's trying to recruit you. And you got to decide where you're going to take your talents and skills. Are you going to put your talents and skills where there's the most money? Or you can put your talents and skill where there's the most meaning for your life? What is most meaningful for you? What kind of work is most meaningful for you? And that's when God calls you to leave your living, he's always calling you to do something more meaningful, something really speaks to your soul. I was talking to somebody this week who was challenged by the message, and they just confessed to me, and this is not untrue of a lot of people. They say, I feel like I'm stealing money at my job. And the reason is because the person is divided. When you have a call from God to do something and you're half doing it, you're not giving the people that pay you your full attention. In fact, you're doing as much of your call as you are the person that pays you. That's why you're stealing money. And at some point, your character should say, you know what? Let me let these people have somebody that really wants to do this, because I don't even like doing this. I don't even get fulfilled doing this, even though it's filling my pockets but not filling my soul. And I don't know how much you could pay me to be empty in my soul. Like, how many trips can I take? How many furs can I buy? How many shoes can I purchase? How many cars can I drive to fill up an empty soul? But there's a kind of work that you can do that'll bring you alive. You get excited about it. You know it's what you were destined to do. It makes a difference in people's lives. And I'm saying God is recruiting you to that. Will you take your talents there? So I want to go back to Matthew chapter 4. By the way, if you want to roll with me, we've compressed our platforms today. So whatever you clicked on, you're probably in a consolidated room with a lot more of your family today. And I can only be in one place. So I am on Zion Anywhere's YouTube page, and I'm there because I want to interact with you. And so if you jump over there, if you want, you don't have to go over there. You can stay where you are and still enjoy the service. It's not going to be anything different other than the fact that I get to see what you're chatting, because I can't see more than one chat from my device. But if you want to chat something and I can see it, just go over to YouTube, click on YouTube and type in Zion Anywhere, and then click on a live option, Zion Anywhere Live. That's where I am right now if you'd like to be a part of this interactive time. Now I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 18 to 22 again. That is our passage of focus. And I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. That's one of my favorites. Just type in the chat what your favorite translation of the Bible is. I'd like to hear what your favorite translation of the scriptures are, just to know that. I'll make note of that. In the New Living Translation, it says, "One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living." This was their living. This was their livelihood. "They were so good at this that they did it for a living." Mm-hmm. Verse 19 says, "Jesus called out to them, 'Come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people.'" That's a call. That's a call. That's a call. It's a transition. You're going to still be fishing, but you're going to fish for people now. And the Bible says they came running. "I will respond." Verse 20 says, "And they left their nets at once and followed him." Verse 21 says he goes further up the shore and he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called them to come too. Y'all come on too. I'm about to change your vocation. Leave your living. And the Bible says in verse 22, and immediately they followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. So I'm talking again this week from the subject, Leaving Your Living, Part 2. So now I see so many different translations of the Bible that you like. Here's my next question. When we look back at last week in Part 2, what stood out to you? So those of you here last week, I'm going to say, I want to hear what stood out to you. What do you remember if you were here for Part 1 that stood out to you from our time together last time? Just put it in the chat, and I want to hear what you got last time when we talked about Leaving Your Living Part 1. All right? Just tell me what your thoughts are, what you came up with. I know for some it was, you know, you can't fully connect to your next assignment until you disconnect from your old assignment. I said something like that. I can't remember exactly how it was. I see Melanie Brady says, "Having enough faith to leave." Dwayne Basco says, "They immediately obeyed." Jennifer Turner talked about the gap. That gap is serious. The gap is serious. The gap is no joke. And I'm not telling you to ignore the gap or act like the gap doesn't exist. I'm just saying the God who called you is aware of the gap. In fact, the God who called you actually created the gap. You say, how did he create the gap? Who gave you your job? Who gave you your talent and skills to make the level of money you got? Didn't you know you was praying to God and he kept getting you promoted, he kept promoting you? So now if God pulled you up and now he's pulling you out, you don't think he knows what you're leaving? Like, I think we think God is like on the short bus, like we got a short bus God who can't count. God is a phenomenal mathematician. He knows all the calculations. See, when you step out from where he took you up to, now you got to trust him again. Is he the God of the gap? Is he the God of the gap? Because some of you will not make a move simply about money. Now there's so many factors: your health, your calling, your purpose, your mission, what will make a difference in this world. None of that matters. You have to admit, you know what? I do things solely based on money. If it ain't enough money, I ain't going to do it. And I'm saying then you are uninterruptible. But you are missing the point that the God who got you to the level you are is the same God who can carry you at a different level and provide for you in a whole different way. The question is, will you respond? Will you respond to him? So I see so many people are talking about what you got. They left their professions, Nathaniel Benjamin. They left the professions that they knew. Ooh, that's good, Nate. Let me say this. I'm going to give you four things today to think about that we didn't talk about last week. I'm going to give you four. I want to take a fresh look at this passage again. And here's what I'm going to do, y'all. I don't know if we're going to be finished after today. I'm ready to sit with this. We got to get this right. We got to get our life's work right. I mean, 2022, we're in January. Let's decide that we're going to align with God. I want to get my life's work right. Because at some point, it's going to matter more in your life. Did I do what I was put on this earth to do? Did I do something meaningful than whether or not I did something that made me feel important about myself or feel like I could compete with my sister got a Volvo, so I got